Hi, and welcome back to the fourth episode in our new series of The Provider Podcast from NHS Providers. My name is Adam Brimelow, and in this series, we're looking back at some of the most talked about panels and keynote speeches from this year's NHS Providers Annual Conference and Exhibition. In this week's episode, we're sharing the panel discussion from our sessions on digital transformation in the NHS. The NHS's response to COVID-19 accelerated digital transformation across health and care. Trust boards have placed digital at the heart of the restoration and recovery of services. In this session, Public Digital, who are our partners in delivering our digital boards programme, join leaders from Health Education England and NHSX, along with two trusts, to look at these new ways of working and discuss how trusts can build strong digital leadership within their organisations. Saffron Cordery, Deputy Chief Executive at NHS Providers, chairs the panel, with speakers Dr. Navina Evans, Chief Executive at Health Education England, Andrew Greenway, Partner of Public Digital, Sam Allen, Chief Executive at Sussex Partnership NHS Foundation Trust, and Krishni Waring, Chair of Northamptonshire Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust. We hope you enjoy this episode and find it an interesting discussion. If you want to find out more about our Digital Boards programme and how it can support you, simply search NHS Providers Digital Boards in your website browser to find out more. You can join in the conversation by following us on Twitter and LinkedIn by searching NHS Providers. And to keep up to date on future episodes of the podcast, please subscribe. Thank you.
Everyone, and welcome to this plenary session. What we're going to talk about today is what does a new era of digital leadership mean for the provider sector? We've talked a lot over the past 6 months about digital transformation, and as with everything in this pandemic, COVID has really accelerated the pace of change and shone a light on the importance of digital in restoring and recovering services. And we know that transformation is key. But one element that is critical if we're going to have genuine transformation is leadership. And that's going to be our focus today. We've got four excellent and erudite speakers. But before I hand over, I'm just going to say a few words about NHS Providers Digital Boards programme, which we launched recently and is funded by Health Education England and NHSX. The programme's focused on supporting trusts and aims to increase understanding of change brought about by digital in health and care and increase boards' confidence and capability in harnessing digital opportunities. The programme includes bespoke board sessions, and I'm delighted to hear that we've got 17 trusts scheduled to take part between now and the end of the year. We've got digital leadership guides and we've got virtual events to support peer learning. So I really do commend the programme to you. And if you don't know about it, please take a look on our website and find out some more. And you'll hear from people today about that too. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Navina, and each of our speakers have 5 minutes each. Thank you.
Thank you, Saffron. So I'm 5 days into my job at HEE. And so last week I was a chief executive in a trust like many of the colleagues here today. So thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. This is very exciting. We are facing a time of great change, opportunity and challenge. And I really want to reach out to my colleagues in NHS trusts who are closest to the people, to point of care, who have a unique opportunity to really make a huge difference. Now, we found and seen that digital is and will continue to be at the heart of restoration and recovery for us all. And it was good to hear Amanda earlier mention it as well when she was speaking. So HEE has already been involved in looking at the role of digital technology and what it can do to support the delivery of health and care in the future. And so building this digital readiness program has been really exciting for my colleagues at HEE. And we really aim for this to support the delivery of healthcare by ensuring that our workforce of today and tomorrow has the right skills and values and behaviours to make sure that they do the right thing at the right time and in the right place. Now, this last few months, the NHS response to COVID-19 has really accelerated digital transformation across health and social care. And I look forward to hearing about that from our colleagues today. And so for us, it's really vital that our leaders at board level are supported to understand and promote the digital transformation agenda. And if I may indulge in my sort of what I was doing last week, that was really important to us as a provider organization. It's really important in enabling us to build on the progress that's already been made these last few months and make sure that digital remains central to what we do. So this digital readiness program aims to help to unblock several prominent challenges. And I'll just name a few. They include the fact that there's a fast and accelerating rate of change, technological change. We've got a massive workforce in very large numbers, all quite disparate. So we've got some urgency here to deliver some kind of streamlined, contextualized, easy to access place of learning. And this is what we want to do. There will be, going forward, a dramatically shifting shape and capabilities of our digital workforce in the next 10 years and beyond. And this needs to be factored into our planning. We think that this is an opportunity to really have clearly defined career pathways in this field, to establish a professional home for our digital workforce. And at the moment, I didn't know this, and I'm surprised that there are around 45,000 in number in the NHS. We also know we don't have a good track record. There's been a historic difficulty in embedding sustainable workforce for these services. But as leaders collectively, we have levers. We need to use them. So this is a real opportunity. The other thing to remind ourselves is we are likely to have to plan for big shifts now and into the future, post-COVID ways of working. So with that in mind, I just want to share some little highlights from our digital readiness work streams. For me, the things that really excite me, a strong focus on supporting our senior leaders, which is what this session is about. And I hope you'll find out more and more about that. The program will also offer support to our digital experts from setting up networks to setting standards and having kind of support of a professional body and much, much more. I want to make a special mention to the Shuri Network, which supports women of colour in digital health to develop the skills and confidence to progress into senior leadership positions and therefore help the NHS leadership and our teams to more closely represent the diversity of our workforce. This readiness program, we really want it to enable building our future digital workforce by providing, we will provide analysis, benchmarks to industry, which will help to inform workforce planning, forecasting, and hopefully also inform strategic investment. Not to forget the TOPOL program for digital fellowships in healthcare, the digital graduate fast track program. And on top of that, we'd really like to enable school leavers to be easily recruited into health and care with early stage career paths. So we're not forgetting about the digital literacy needs of our wider workforce, encompassing the learning that we've already taken from COVID. We need to build on existing plans. So there's, for example, one of them supporting the digital first agenda in primary care. And finally, I do want to say something about social care being brought into this program. We have started work to engage with partners in social care in all parts of their sector. We need to learn from them. We want to establish a community of practice and continue to support the digital capabilities for social work project, which is already underway. We have an ambition to adapt the TOPOL fellowships for the social care workforce. So that's just like a quick run through of what we've been doing. So as you can see, there is so much opportunity in this program, but it can only come to fruition with a very high level of support and engagement from board leaders. So this is a real plea. When I joined HEE, I asked my new colleagues if HEE was a digital first organization. Pause. So I can only say that I promise to all of you that the senior leadership in HEE will also be embarking on this journey to learn and make sure that we are a digital first organization too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Navina. And you heard it here first on HEE being the digital first organization. I'm going to hand straight over to Andrew Greenaway. Andrew.
Thank you, Saffron. And really, really heartening to hear that ambition from Navina as well. Really exciting. So one of the things that we've been discussing with boards in the board digital board development sessions that Saffron mentioned at the top is unpicking the definition of digital and what that means in terms of the collective responsibility that boards have for it. As a concept, digital has clearly been around for quite a long time now. And in that time, it's adopted various different guises, I think it's fair to say, to the point where it's almost become a piece of jargon. And some of those guises can be less helpful than others. There are still plenty of organizations out there, not just in healthcare, who hear digital and still think in terms of IT and technology alone. And I think that's quite an important idea to push back on. That's not because it's completely wrong. It's more because it's incomplete. Technology is part of the picture, but it's really only one part. And often it's actually not the most important part. And the biggest problem that often flows from having an incomplete definition of digital is that it often means that responsibility for it ends up being taken quite partially as well. Now, the definition of digital that we're using in the Digital Boards program is one taken from my colleague Tom Loosemore, which is that digital is about applying the culture, the processes, the operating models, and the technologies of the internet era to respond to people's raised expectations. So yes, technology is clearly an important part of that picture. So it is important that as executives, we're engaged and curious about technology as much as we are about finance or as much as we are about quality. It's important that executives ask questions of their technologists and understand the basic technical architecture of their organization. They should know what bits run on Excel, for example, and why. It's really not acceptable to say in 2020 as a leader, well, technology is just not really my thing, as much as it isn't acceptable to say such things about finance. You need to know which bits of the car are held together with sellotape. It's okay if they are, but you need to know where they are. But to become a digital first organization, as kind of Navina referenced, and one that's able to thrive in the internet era, a lot more is needed beyond technology. It's about the culture, the processes, and the form that that organization takes, but at least as important. And ultimately, it's a people challenge. And the trick and the art of it is often to think more in terms of building teams than it is about building apps. And that team building really starts at a board level. And what the broad definition of digital that we use hopefully makes clear is that responding to the consequences of this kind of change is a job for the organization's leadership as a whole. And delegating it to one executive, or one team, one particular set of skills tends to get organizations into deep trouble. Now, I'm sure many of the people on this session will have heard stories of big IT project failures, not just in healthcare, but beyond. And a lot of them tended to have collapsed because they were handed to an IT department or a supplier to just worry about. The rest of the leadership often washed their hands of it, preferring to sort of follow the business as usual. And that lack of engagement means that potential benefits of digital transformation are never really realized, while the business as usual is disrupted anyway. And I think if there's one message to take from that is that if digital change is not everyone's responsibility, it very quickly becomes everyone's problem. Now, I think digital transformation in the NHS is especially hard. The experience and the work that Public Digital does is often with governments and large public sector organisations around the world. And I think the challenge that the NHS has is that its business as usual is, more than most, literally a case of life and death. And one of the reasons that the NHS can't be directly compared to the Amazons and Spotify's of this world is because those organisations grew up on the internet. They began in a green field where they didn't have to worry about business as usual in quite the same way. And clearly providers do, and right now they're under unprecedented pressures. But nonetheless, the NHS is now dealing with the needs of patients and service users and staff in 2020, but using ways of working that are often decades old. And thinking about just updating the technology won't fix that. It requires that much wider view on how the organisation is wired together. And I think what the NHS can seek to emulate, perhaps from those giants of the internet era, is that ruthless and relentless focus on their users, not customers in this case, clearly, but the staff, the patients and the service users, and maintaining that focus from the front line to the boardroom. So just to wrap up and re-emphasise, digital very much has to be a collective responsibility for trust leadership. Not everyone on the board will necessarily play a direct role in delivering the new systems that kind of underpin it, the visible things that will kind of get talked about and be the subject of business cases. But all leaders will have some role to play in helping to create the organizational culture, the processes and operating models that are needed to support any new technology to deliver its promised benefits. And I think the last 6 months in particular have shown that the NHS really can manage that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrew. And I think this notion of needing a shared understanding and a shared definition and a shared approach and agreement on how we take digital forward is absolutely fundamental. Perhaps we'll come back to some of that in the question and answer. But without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Sam Allen now, who's Chief Executive of Sussex Partnership. Sam.
Thanks, Saffron. It's really great to be with everybody this morning. In terms of thinking about the consequences for leaders when it comes to digital leadership, I was just asked to kind of reflect briefly on some of our work over the last several months in the Trust and certainly working with our ICS partners down in Sussex. So I think, as everybody said, pretty much the theme of the conference, it's been a really difficult last few months, but it's certainly shown the NHS at its best. And I think particularly in relation to the adoption and the rapid scaling up of the use of digital. At our Trust during COVID, we had three key priorities: keep patients safe, keep staff safe, and take pragmatic and proportionate decisions. And right from the get-go, we really felt that we needed to locate digital and communications at the heart of our gold and silver command structures when it came to dealing with COVID. We've got 5,000 staff dispersed across 102 sites in two counties down here on the southeast coast. And we needed a really clear and simple vision, and the vision that our digital clinical lead co-produced with our clinicians and service users was that every clinician should be able to offer a digital consultation and any service user should be able to request one. And that really was the mantra and the focus, particularly in the early days of COVID. And it'd be fair to say pre-COVID, we've been laying the foundations of digital in our organisation. 3 years ago, we appointed a Chief Digital Information Officer to our board. We're a fast follower on the Global Digital Exemplar Programme, so we have benefited from investment that's enabled us to address some of our infrastructure issues. And our board has had digital as one of its four key breakthrough objectives. And I think whilst we've got the expertise around the board table, really seeing digital as part of everybody's role. So we've increased our investment in infrastructure and people. From an investment perspective, we still invest just under what Ghana recommends in terms of infrastructure. And we're one of the highest investors in our area. And it's one of my reflections, actually, when it comes to the health service. Sometimes I look at what we invest in information and we're seen as a significant outlier. And the question is, why are you spending so much? And actually, when we compare ourselves to other industries, we're still just investing under the norm. And in fact, the question should be, how can we invest more in this in terms of our infrastructure? So we've had a real commitment to benefits realisation through our GD programme. We've tried to be quite relentless and rigorous around focusing on the end user. But I think COVID really gave us a jolt. It gave us a sense of urgency. If we were to deliver those goals of keeping patients safe and keeping staff safe, we went from 150 remote users to 4,000 remote users. And very, very early on, in fact, 2 weeks before the national level 4 incident was declared, we started sending people home to work from home where we could during that period. We also scaled up our use of digital platforms. And we also offered that to the use of our third sector partners who didn't have the infrastructure and didn't have the investment. But clearly, what they do enables us to keep doing what we do in the health service. So we felt a real sense of responsibility in enabling other providers to access our infrastructure. So it would be fair to say, as a board, we adjusted our risk appetite during that period. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment when I think about decision making and how we can really retain the boldness. But as a board now, what are we talking about? We're talking about home working. We're talking about digital burnout. Is that the new thing that we're going to see across our sector? And we're talking about digital inclusion, because we've really realised through this that people have been excluded. If you think about 90% of households at the moment only have internet access, that's 10% of all households don't have internet access. Only 78% of the population go online and use a mobile device. 11.3 million people don't have the basic skills yet to access digital technology, and 4.8 million of our population never go online at all. We think that will be down to about 8% by 2030. But if you look at the last several months, 6% more people have used banking apps. 1 in 6 people are using digital communications. So in terms of this jolt, in terms of this sense of urgency, I don't think we'll ever see a time in our lifetime when the public, when the population is getting to grips with using digital. I think from a health service perspective, we've really accelerated our learning and our use of digital, probably about 7 to 8 years. So from going to doing perhaps about 20 online consultations a week as an organisation, we've now delivered over 30,000 online consultations. That's a combination of virtual consultations and face-to-face. So what does this now mean really for us as a board? And there's 3 things as a board we're really thinking about. Firstly, refreshing our digital strategy. We had a digital strategy, we've been delivering it, but we really need to refresh it now. We need to make sure it's integral to everything we do, not an add-on and not technology-driven. This digital is about people. It's about human behaviour, it's about culture, and it's about transformation. We need to be more rigorous and relentless with the end user voice, both the patient, both the clinician. We've done extensive surveys. We're now undertaking 100 focused surveys with our patients, undertaken by patients actually, to get an understanding of what their experience has been and how we can use this learning. We need to look at the skills and capabilities that we've got across the workforce, right across from apprenticeship level. We can see that our workforce has become more agile, and we need to make sure that we've really got digital competency at every level. Wellbeing is hugely important, particularly with the remote working. We've certainly said over the last 7 months, people haven't been working at home. They've been doing their best during a crisis. If we're going to become more agile and have people working from home, we need to adopt other strategies and approaches. Digital needs to be part of that, but we also need to be thinking about people's wellbeing. Sustainability and collaboration. So we've reduced our carbon footprint. We've saved over 500,000 miles in travel. We've reduced our use of paper. We've reduced our spend on utilities bills. Of course, some of our staff spend has gone up during that period, and we're compensating for them for that. But also working collaboration as a system, we can learn from other people's expertise. And if we look at the journey local authorities have been on with automation and customer experience, I think we've got a lot to learn building on the skills right across our integrated care systems at the local level. And we've got a real opportunity, if we get this right, we do avoid digital burnout, to enhance and improve the work-life balance of our staff, to have more flexible workforce. During this period in COVID, we've actually had several members of our staff who got, in the early days, they got stuck in other countries where they've been visiting families and friends, and they've continued to work remotely. So it starts to make you think about a more global workforce for the health service. And then finally, retaining our agility and our sense of boldness. There's no doubt that during the last 7 months, we've adjusted our risk appetite. We've come together with a shared purpose, and we've got on and we've done things quicker and faster. We've not let perfection be the enemy of success. We've looked at iterative improvement, the minimal viable products, scale it, get it out there and learn. And in our organisation, thinking about learning and development, we've set up a team who their sole mission is to tell us what we're learning about COVID. And they're doing all of that work. They're not weighed down by being part of our command structures. They have the ability to do that in the way they want, to go anywhere in the organisation. We don't want a thesis at the end of it. We just want something really short and simple. And we've produced some publications. They're onto the phase 2 of that project. So I think as leaders, and when it comes to leadership, removing the cultural barriers to enable change to happen in a fast and agile way, I think is going to be really key to how we maintain the momentum. And I just wanted to finish off just with a personal reflection, really, which is how brilliant the NHS is. I often call it the 8th wonder of the world. And it, for me, I couldn't imagine a future without it. But we need to be real and we need to be honest. The NHS is there for the people. It's there for the citizens. And it will be there for as long as they need it and as long as it's giving them what they need. we have to seize this moment in digital transformation, because if we don't, quite simply, the NHS is going to become dated. It's not going to be a model that's fit for purpose. If you look at other sectors in banking, who's got a Monzo account, there's all sorts of digitally enabled models challenging the way we do things. And we've got some of those in healthcare, haven't we? We know who they are. So let's retain that sense of boldness. But I think as leaders, let's put this at the heart of what we do, and let's free people up and give them the permission to be agile, to get on and to innovate. But what that will require is it will require investment. It will require support, and it require us to rethink how we do things in terms of the model of care. Because if COVID's taught us anything, it's taught us that our model of care, particularly hospital-based services, are not always fit for the future. There's a different way of doing things, and digital needs to be at the heart of that.
Thank you so much, Sam. That was really great. And I think if you're saying you've leapt forward 7 or 8 years, there's no chance of the NHS being left behind if we follow your model. I'm going to come on now to Krishni Waring for her contribution. So over to you, Krishni.
Saffron, thanks very much. And thanks for having me here on this discussion. I'm going to reflect really on our recent experience of taking advantage of the digital board development offer, because that literally did only just happen a few weeks ago. So it's a really timely opportunity to share our experience of that. But first of all, it's worth saying that our recent development session was not the first time that we recognised the need for some development as a board around digital transformation. And back in February 2019, we held a strategy development workshop as a board. And actually, looking at the long-term plan, we undertook some development around our digital capability as our as an organisation at the time. And the opportunity that provided us was just really to reflect on how capable we thought we were digitally as an organisation. And to be quite frank, and this is sort of back in February, as I say, last year, I think we thought it was really important. We understood its potential. We understood what it meant, but we didn't think we were digitally mature. And so there was a lot for us to do as an organisation. And we didn't think we were set up to succeed in the way that we would like digitally. So lots of enthusiasm and energy about the digital agenda, with recognition that there was a lot more to do. And some of that work started in 1920 with focus on establishing a digital program board and continuing to drive forward innovation, which we've always prized. And part of that has been about digital innovation as well. Fast forward to where we are now, 18 months down the road, and you know, Sam has very ably described sort of some of the journeys that I think we've all been on. And I think it would be fair to say that we've become more digitally mature by necessity. We've done things in the space of months that we couldn't have imagined, both as an organisation and within our own system. And actually, that's a fantastic opportunity. But I think it's fair to say that the improvements we've achieved have been achieved because it was necessary, and sometimes because our services actually have been really felt empowered to improve what we've done. What I'm not sure we've done, perhaps not as ably as Sam and her colleagues have described, is really driven that as the board and really kind of taken a board oversight of the digital agenda. So, you know, lots of positive things have happened, but to build on the foundations that we've now established, the need for the board to drive the agenda much more is something we've recognised. So the session that we had with Andrew and other colleagues recently was actually really timely, because what it allowed us to do was just reflect on our journey and think about how we might raise the profile of digital as a board, and make sure we take more of a collective responsibility for driving the agenda. And particularly, I think, with non-execs, because non-execs often come with lots of external experience, not necessarily in healthcare. And actually, there's something about thinking about the parallels that you can draw from your experience elsewhere. I mean, personally, I come from one of my more recent experiences was from the logistics industry. And we often reflect on the advantages that track and trace technology have enabled in parcel delivery, for example. And one of the things we've talked about is how amazing it would be if we could use the sort of example of a parcel delivery company that can text a recipient to say parcel's going to arrive within the next hour. Well, being able to do that kind of thing across our community services, for example, would be transformational in terms of patient experience and service and user experience. So I think there's something about making sure that we learn from those parallels and translate them into the environment that we're in healthcare. But I think what was most useful was really for us to think about as a board, the kind of collectively, the different ways in which we could keep digital practically on the agenda. And the development session we had really provoked some really interesting discussion and ideas and insights into how we might do that as a board. And some of that was literally making sure that we have visibility of successes and programs at our board meetings, making sure that we actually understood our digital capability. Now, Sam described sort of some of the things that her trust has achieved. And I think the richness of that, it's really important to have those sorts of discussions at the board and for everybody to understand what changes have been achieved and make sure that that's reflected on and questioned and shared. The other things that we've talked about are things like exploring when we have patients at our public board meetings, talking to them about how a digital transformation or digitally enabled care might have made things better for them, or what was their experience of the digital element of our services. And certainly talking to staff about these things on service visits, doing more about talking to getting more information and insights from patients and staff on their experience of our digital capability. So lots of ideas were generated as a board about how we might actually raise the profile of what the board talks about in relation to digital. I think it's important to say that if you have a similar development session in your own board, you might generate a whole set of other things that are different to ours. This is just about where we are in our journey. And what was really good, I think, is when I talked with colleagues afterwards, it really whet people's appetite. So I think we're at a point in our journey where we're saying, OK, we've achieved some things that we wanted to achieve more by default than by our board leadership. But now is the time for us to really think about how we're going to drive this agenda forward. And here are some things that we can grip and grasp and take forward. And it's about us now showing that leadership, much as we do with other things, that actually it's about, you know, prioritising it on the agenda, asking the right questions, keep talking about it and demonstrating how you're moving forward. So that's just really some reflections from me about how useful it was to have that development session, how that's encouraged us to think further about how we prioritise digital on our agenda. And it's interesting, I shared with Andrew recently in a catch-up call that following the session, I've probably talked more about digital in the last few months than maybe I had done, you know, certainly in previous experience. So I think it has just really helped us raise the profile of it. And that's a really important thing for us to recognise and build on as a board. Thank you, Saffron. I'll hand back to you.
Thank you so much, Krishni. And I'm going to put some really quick fire questions to the panel, and I'm not going to ask all of them to answer all of them. So, Sam, there's a question come through. What level of investment are you putting into digital?
It's just under about 2% of our total operating expenditure, which is 292 million.
Fab. This is a question for us to follow up, I think, with people attending. Is there a template of what digital first looks like so boards can seek to replicate and continuously ask our executives to aim at? And I think that perhaps if people want to start looking at our materials, but also think about how that might come out in the digital board sessions that people might sign up for, then I think that would be great. Andrew, have you got a good example of where a trust has been enabled to explore the potential benefits of digital?
In that case, to save time, I'm going to direct Geeta to the materials that are published as part of the Digital Boards, because there's lots of good case studies in there that are probably worth, and I couldn't do justice to them in 30 seconds. So I would direct to the material. There's plenty of good stuff in there.
Thank you. We've also got a question here about the role of non-executives. So recently appointed a NED with great knowledge of digital suggested to the chair that we really needed to have an executive director with digital expertise. The reply was, we do not have the budget to appoint an executive director responsible for digital. Should every FT have an executive director for digital, and should funds be made available for this? I'm going to ask Navina her views on this first, and then I will come to others. This is probably our final question. Navina.
So my view is that leadership is really, really important. So if your organization can demonstrate that you have leadership, whether that is executive director specifically with that in their portfolio, or whether it's a different way of demonstrating that, it's up to you and your organization and how you're configured and how you communicate with your staff. So my answer to that is a kind of yes and. It's more important about demonstrating the leadership, having your program and being able to deliver it for me, than it is just to have kind of an individual that is identified as holding this.
Thank you, Navina. Sam, you look a little ready to come in on that one, so I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd support what Navina said. I think it's up to you to determine, the board to determine what the skills and capabilities are that you need around the table. I think also it's dependent on where you are in the change cycle in terms of how much you need to do. And certainly for our organisation, as I said, we took the decision 3 years ago to have a full executive director post. She's Chief Digital Information Officer. And I'm really pleased that we did that. And I certainly can't see us not having that role around the board table for the foreseeable future.
Thank you, Sam. And I'm just acutely aware of the fact that we've hardly got through any of these questions. And I know that there's a whole host here. I'm going to leave people with a final question to think about, because this is like an exam question. Wider system challenges include health inequalities in communities and the infrastructure they need to utilise the shift change to digital. What can be done to support digital inclusion in local communities? You all have 45 minutes and 2,000 words to answer that question, because I think it does feel like the perfect exam question that we mustn't lose sight of when we are thinking about digital, which is digital inclusion. The focus is so much on health inequalities, but I think that when we're taking forward any programs, thinking about how we are genuinely inclusive has to be top of the list. I'm sorry we didn't have more time for questions, but I think it's been a really fabulous taster for the kind of experience you might have if you join our Digital Boards program. And I hope that we can keep the conversation going in other fora and in other conversations. So thank you very much to all of our speakers, and thank you for your time today.